The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
The phrase that caught my eye this weekend came out of Russia. It was from a general Putin supporter who said, "This may be the beginning of the last war of mankind." It's a little sobering. More than 60 dead, over 1,000 wounded, and yet another chemical weapons attack inside of Syria. Syria is denying it. Russia is denying it. It's exactly a year ago, to the week, that President Trump retaliated with 59 cruise missiles after the last chemical attack inside Syria. The images, if you had the stomach to see them, of the men, women, and children lying dead or foaming at the mouth, that reportedly prompted the president to strike last year, they were just as gruesome this year. The UN has called for an emergency meeting for some time today, but really, does anyone expect anything to actually come from the UN? When Assad used chemical weapons 12 months ago, the UN Security Council was blocked from retaliation by a veto from Russia. It's going to be exactly the same scenario today, and all eyes will then shift to President Trump, who has to decide, do I act unilaterally? That's what he did last year. For the first time ever, in a tweet sent yesterday, the president called Putin out directly, placing the blame squarely on his shoulders for, quote, backing animal Assad, end quote. Russia has responded in their typical Russian manner, deny, deny, deny. Russia apparently thinks the chemical attacks just materialized out of thin air. They say this is a false flag. First in the UK, now in Syria. Putin is in danger of becoming the international Alex Jones with all of the false flags. And the U.S. government is behind all of this conspiracy. The next thing you know, Putin is going to be ripping his shirt off on TV while trying to sell you supplements. I mean, it's getting that ridiculous. So the question is now, will Trump retaliate? Should the president retaliate? And what does it mean? Eight missiles struck a Syrian airbase last night. Russia has accused Israel for the attack. We denied it. No one has claimed responsibility yet. But if the U.S. attack occurs, it'll probably be after today's U.N. Security Council meeting. Military action inside Syria has never been more dangerous. Both Russia and Iranian military troops are all over the place. Reports last night indicated Russian air defense units were scrambling to prepare for an imminent U.S. attack. If Russian soldiers die in a U.S. cruise missile strike, this whole thing changes dramatically. But I guess we can thank the Obama administration for this. Susan Rice, do you remember when she and the rest of the Obama administration promised us that Assad got rid of all of its chemical weapons, that they had all been turned over to Russia? And Putin was, you know, there to say, oh, no, we verified. You remember all that? Because it was supposedly a master stroke in diplomacy after the debacle of the infamous red line from President Obama. Yes, they crossed his red line, but he used that to have Assad's chemical weapons removed from the country, and Putin saw to it. Uh-huh. Yet another lie from that administration. Weren't these guys considered the grown-ups? The responsible intellectuals when it came to foreign policy? Take a look around at the world. Libya is now a failed state. Iran is taking over the entire Middle East, and Assad is still using chemical weapons, and apparently now with Vladimir Putin's blessings. We're in a war that's been undeclared. Most Americans don't even know about it in Yemen. This is what the grown-ups are responsible for? Okay. Thanks, President Obama.
It's Monday, April 9th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We brought Jason Bertrillin, who is our chief researcher and military expert, former military intelligence, who's been watching Russia and the Middle East with me now for several years. Where are we, Jason?
Massive headache is. That's where
it's John Bolton's first day on the job, and they're saying, you know, hey, this is bad because he's a hawk. Well, no, he was actually against the Syria thing. Yeah. He was against this.
Yeah. No, the quote that you just picked out from what was that general, that retired lieutenant general?
Archduke. No. Let's see here. General Evgeny Bruinsky.
Yeah. So I think what he was referring to is, so the war to end all wars basically is what the Cold War was supposed to materialize into, which was World War III. But the Cold War, like the things that we saw during the Cold War, were nothing compared to what's going on right now. Like the sanctions, all the threats, all that stuff would have escalated the Cold War into a whole other playing field. But we're starting at that right now as we go into this next Cold War. So it's already escalated. And so he was talking about, I remember in one of the interviews he just did, he said that, well, you know, what would kick off actual kinetic confrontation? And he straight up said, well, the conflict in Syria, that's what will kick it off. So if we retaliate, let's say we retaliate, and the area where this chemical attack happened, where some of these things are happening, is around the Damascus area. So if we strike towards Damascus, Russian troops are all over the place there. If we do that, then Russia will respond. How will they respond? Well, they'll start hitting our naval assets that are in the Mediterranean, in that area that launched the cruise missiles. So it'll be direct U.S. Kinetic operations that will kill Russians, and then Russians will respond by attacking the United States Navy. That will take this to a whole other level, and I think that's what he was referring to.
There's no way we don't respond to an attack. No way they don't respond to an attack. I mean, Putin came out this weekend and said, you know, this is not going to end well. Don't do it. Don't do it, because we will have to respond back to you. So I don't know where we're headed, but it doesn't seem to be any place good in the Middle East.
This cycle has just got to stop. I mean, it has got to stop. It has escalated beyond. After the Cold War, it kept on going. But I would say after 9/11, it has ramped up to a whole other level, and it has got to stop. We have got to put some restrictions on where we're, you know, influencing the world, where we're getting involved, and all the things that we're doing. Like, we don't have to. I saw a quote from President Erdogan, Turkey, that he's been doing all kinds of. He's basically invaded northern Syria, and he's going after Kurds, killing Kurds. But he had the audacity to call out the West and say, if you don't respond to this, then you just don't care about, you know, Muslims. Jeez. You don't care about the region. Why? Why is it always put on us to respond? Like, Turkey is trying to get so involved right now. Look, this is your backyard. You need to respond to this. This is, you know, this is your job. This is not our job.
They don't want to respond because they know that Iran is involved. They need us to be the bad guys here, so they can sit on the sidelines and not piss off everybody else in the neighborhood.
You're exactly right. Everyone, because we're so involved in the region over all the years, everyone plays us off of everybody.
Yes.
You notice that. Like, mm-hmm. they call us the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Iran calls us the bad. Russia. I mean, everyone plays us as the bad guys. Now, if you notice, all the meetings that are taking place right now are between, they're not even including us. It's between Turkey, Iran, Russia, and Syria. They're the ones that are doing all these talks, and they're coming up with all these like cooperation packs. They're not even involving us, but they're still playing us off of one another. We need to get the heck out. That's it. The problem is that we've set up the region now to where Iran is completely going to take over. They are. Like, so if we're in this conundrum now to where if we back out, we basically just hand over the region to Iran.
And then what happens to Israel?
You're exactly right.
I mean, that's why Israel struck last night. And it may be that Israel is our proxy in this. I mean, I can't imagine it, but maybe Israel becomes our proxy. Just like, you know, Syria is. We're in a proxy war with Russia right now. And here's something else. The sanctions have hit Russia hard. So if you were for sanctions, and I am for sanctions, this is stuck a stake, not in their heart, but in the chest cavity. It is close. We hit their aluminum industry, which is very important to them. What's happened?
Second largest aluminum company in the world. Their shares have lost 50% of their value since Friday, just off of U.S. sanctions.
That's it.
So imagine if GM lost 50% of its value because of something Vladimir Putin did. We wouldn't be happy. It would not sit well. That's not the only thing. Tell me about the ruble.
So the ruble dropped to about 60 rubles per $1. And that's the lowest it's been, I think, in a couple years.
We have a Cold War and a hot war, but it's a proxy war, going on at exactly the same time. It is so easy to make a mistake here. And if we make a mistake, the world changes. The world changes overnight. I don't think people really truly understand. And I'm going to do something on television tonight. I need to spend 10 minutes with you and laying it out on the chalkboard of all of the things that are happening right now. We all have come into this this feeling of comfort because the election happened. And so half of the country trusts that, you know, the right half of the country will keep us secure. Well, the other half doesn't. Well, nothing really has changed. Obama's proxy war in Yemen is still happening. Obama's Syrian war is still happening. The effects of Libya is still happening. The corruption in Russia that we were dealing with, still happening. All of these things that were going on, they haven't stopped. And in fact, they're getting worse. Now, Trump is playing hardball, which I generally support. I think that, you know, I want a president to make it very clear. We know what happened to the world when the United States said, you know, well, there's a red line, but it's kind of a pinkish line. And there is no actual, I mean, we live in a postmodern world. There is no actual red. Who are you to define red? We know what happened. We're paying that price now. But we have to be really careful because everything seems to be coming into one really bad place. And that includes China as well.
I'd love to get an answer from you, Jason, and I know you don't have one, to the idea that how did Syria commit a chemical weapons attack when there was a major international agreement that disarmed Syria of its chemical weapons just a few years ago?
And Putin verified that those chemicals didn't exist.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's been verified. Obama, Putin working together. This was knocked out years ago, and now all of a sudden they have them again? How is that possible?
Yeah. Unpossible.
It's impossible.
Unpossible.
You fail English? That's impossible.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, what side does China come down on this?
It's a good question. I think that China will probably veto. I think that China will probably abstain from any actual action.
If it went to hot war, whose side are they on?
They just actually did a military pact with Russia.
Holy Jesus.
So they're signaling that that's where they're going.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't know if I actually mean the thank you very much. It might have been better if I could have lived in my blissful ignorance there on that.
Glenn Beck.
So I touched on this a second ago that there is a Chicago-based equity firm specializing in real estate investment, and they have sent letters to the city and the state of Connecticut, cities and the state of Connecticut, offering to spend $2 billion to purchase publicly owned office building, healthcare facilities, and transit-related properties. Anything else in the state and municipal governments might be willing to part with. There is a catch. They're insisting on 7.25% annual yield on the investment, and they're going to do it by raising the rent and leasing the properties back to the city and the state. So that will give them the money that they are short for, $2 billion. However, how are they going to pay for this? So they'll take this money, they'll sell all of the assets, but they'll continue to spend money until the until the administration changes, until you get fiscally responsible people in there, and that doesn't mean necessarily Republicans, until you get people who say, look, this is a house of cards, and it's just not going to work anymore. You can't sell the assets and then spend it. By the way, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, this is the equivalent to the FDIC. This is the one that backs up all of the state and big pensions. It's completely insolvent already. These pensions haven't really started to collapse yet, and that's what's collapsing Connecticut. So there's no money left to be able to grab these insolvent pensions. That's what's going to collapse California. That's what's going to collapse Illinois. That's what's going to collapse Michigan and Connecticut and all of these other big states, New York, Pennsylvania.
And at that point, too, if those big states start falling, even the states that have done it relatively right are going to fall as
well. Of course,
well.
It's because it's going to be pushed onto everybody else.
Yeah.
And they will. What they'll end up doing is just printing money. I mean, it's this is not a happy scenario. Now, there is some good news. Every time I go out to California for the last few years, I have told you there is something happening. There is something happening in California. And I am finding these people who are on the left and the right who are finally coming to common sense. And they're going, you know, I've had deep liberals go, you know, I've taken a look at the 10th Amendment and I think you guys were right on that. Oh, you think? We're starting to see the unum come back, and it's going to start happening in the states that are the most under pressure. If there is a group of rock solid common sense people there. Now in California, I think there's enough farming. There's enough people in the rural areas that believe like this is out of control. There was a story on Fox News in their op-ed section that, you know, they have Los Alamitos was the community that said, you know what? No, we are not going to be a refugee city. We're not going to be a sanctuary city. We're not following California. We're going to follow the federal government. Well, now there are several cities and towns all around California that are starting to do this, but it's lit the fire of something that I think has been smoldering in California for a while, and I want to talk about that a little later on in the program. But that fire is common sense people standing up that understand
Glenn
what common sense Beck. Is
Mercury.
Look, selling a house is easy. It's the easiest thing in the world. As long as, you know, the market is going through the roof and you're in the perfect location and your house is in great shape. And you know, other than that, it gets to be kind of a pain in the butt, actually. You have to make sure you have someone who actually has real knowledge of the local market, who has a great marketing plan, somebody who knows what they're doing. And that doesn't even include the really important stuff like the paperwork and all of the legal materials that, I mean, look, it can be a disaster. You better have somebody on your side fighting the good fight. And that's why you go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Real Estate Agents I Trust is a network of over 1,200 agents that have been rigorously qualified by the company to make sure that you have the best agents from your area. They know what they're doing. If you need to sell your house fast and for the most money, or if you're looking for to buy, go to realestateagentsitrust.com. You'll be introduced to the best agent in your town. Realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
So it's Monday. Let me share some good news with you. A couple of weeks ago, I had Chad and Logan Blythe on my television program. It was on World Down Syndrome Day. And Chad and his 15-year-old son, Logan, they live in a place called Payson, Utah. And Chad and his wife, Diane, moved to Utah from Illinois 4 years ago because the schools were better for Logan, and he had just better options. Logan has Down syndrome, and he has been in the Boy Scouts for the last 4 years. He has seen great improvement with his dexterity and also his speech because he joined the Boy Scouts. He also is in Special Olympics and has earned swimming medals. And he joined the Boy Scouts, and everybody understood what the deal was. There are things that Logan can't do. He operates with the mentality of about a 4 or 5 year old. And he needs, you know, special attention, but he is completing things, and he's not completing them necessarily to the exact handbook because he can't, but he's completing them to the best of his ability. He's been earning merit badges. Now, this has all been understood. Everybody in the Boy Scouts understood this. And he was working his way to an Eagle. Now, he got all of the merit badges and did the work at his level. The Scoutmasters, they take a picture with him, and it gets into the press, and the National Scouts see this and say, this is wrong. He hasn't really completed anything. He can't really be an Eagle. Well, that seems a little callous, and I'm not one for giving trophies to people who don't earn it. But I think this is a little bit different. And so they told him and his parents that there's no way that he's going to be able to go on and be an Eagle and to take away all of the merit badges. As you can imagine, a boy who has been working for 5 years for that, had started his Eagle project, it didn't go over well with the family. So then what happens? We find out about it. It happened a while back. We found out about it on Down Syndrome Day. And we bring the family on TV and we talk about it. And there's been kind of an outcry from the local community. And we have an update for you. Chad is joining us now. Hello, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Boy, could we use some good news on a Monday?
Yes, definitely.
So tell me what happened since last we spoke.
Well, approximately 2 weeks ago, we actually met with the National Commissioner of the BSA. He was very apologetic for everything that we've been going through here and assured us that the merit badges that Logan has earned, he has indeed earned, and they still qualify. And that Logan has every right and will earn his Eagle Scout.
That's great.
Now,
can you tell me what their concern was, or what happened, how this broke down, and how it was finally solved, and what it means to them for future cases?
Well, I'm not exactly 100% sure what happened there. They did indicate to me there was a bit of a miscommunication within the National Boy Scout organization itself. I wasn't entirely sure on that. But I do know going forward for them, they have already made several changes that will allow kids with special needs to actually request alternative merit badge requirements, not just alternative merit badges. So, for That's example, great. If you have, if you can't dive to the bottom of a pool, you can actually request that it be substituted with maybe holding your breath for 5 seconds underwater.
And this is not for the average person. This is for someone with Down syndrome or significant disabilities.
Correct. Yes, it is not for a normal individual that can do those activities themselves. It's for someone that has some kind of mental or physical handicap that will not allow them to do so.
So, Chad, tell a story of of the other Eagles in the area when they found out about your son's case?
Not just the Eagles in my area, but across the country. They were outraged. Many of them volunteered their Eagle badges and Eagle Scout awards to my son. I think I lost count at over 100.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, they were more than forthcoming and supportive in our efforts here. So they've been great. It's been amazing to see just how much they were willing to support us, get behind us, and just cheer us on. I think we had an Eagle Scout as far away as London, England, offer their Eagle Scout award.
That is really remarkable. Really remarkable.
Oh, yes, quite.
So you broke it to your son, the news. How did he take it?
He was fine with it. Right now we're in the middle of the Special Olympics season here in Utah, So he's principally focused there. 2 weeks ago he got his latest silver medal for basketball skills, and swimming is coming up. So he's got his mind focused more on that than anything else. And I think once the Special Olympics season is over, which is sometime around the middle of the summer out here in Utah, we'll probably readdress it with him, see if he's interested or not. But as it stands right now, he's more focused on the Special Olympics.
Chad, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
You bet. God bless. So, the Washington Free Beacon put together some clips about Syria. Do we have those, Stu?
Yes.
Because remember, this chemical attack, if you saw the pictures, it was just horrifying. But this chemical attack clearly did not happen because the last administration took care of this problem. And in case you don't remember, the Washington Free Beacon is here to remind you.
Dozens of people reportedly killed, including at least 10 children, hundreds of others injured, and these numbers are very preliminary. What caused this? Right now, it's seen as a gas or chemical attack.
I think ultimately that President Obama is the big winner here.
He is a big, big winner in my estimation.
It turns out we're getting chemical weapons out of Syria without having initiated a strike. So what else are you talking about?
We've got the chemical weapons. We're getting the chemical weapons out of Syria.
Well, Chris, all you have to do is look at the fact that today, the final 8% of chemical weapons were taken out of Syria.
We should commend the administration for the result that they got. The removal of chemical weapons out of Syria is a substantial accomplishment.
We certainly worked with them in Syria to bring all the chemical weapons out of Syria.
We struck a deal where we got 100% of the chemical weapons out.
100% of the declared chemical weapons out of Syria.
We kept chemical weapons or got chemical weapons out of the area.
We got, as you know, last year, all the chemical weapons out of Syria. No small feat.
Syria eliminating its chemical weapons and ultimately having them destroyed by the international community.
Syria would still have a declared chemical weapons stockpile. Right now, they don't. Right now, Bashar al-Assad does not have a declared chemical weapons stockpile. We removed that declared chemical weapons stockpile, and we destroyed that declared chemical weapons stockpile, which means that Bashar al-Assad can't use those chemical weapons against his own people.
And the purpose of the strike was to get the chemical weapons out of Syria. Weapons of mass destruction are taken out of the zone of conflict. And thank God we did that. We are making real progress in Iraq and Syria. And I mean real progress. If Russia can help us, and it is right now, Russia has helped bring about the Iran nuclear agreement. Russia helped get the chemical weapons out of Syria.
The destruction of the Syrian chemical weapons stockpile.
I would have, I think, made a bigger mistake if I had said, chemical weapons, that doesn't really change my calculus.
Mm. So now if you're sitting in a newsroom at CNN, what do you do? Seriously, what do you do? You're like, well, I believe the Obama administration when they said that they got rid of all the chemical weapons. And now Russia is saying that this is a false flag because Syria didn't have any chemical weapons. So who gassed these people? How do you report on that news?
it's going to be really interesting because the left, who was saying we need to be super hard on Syria and we need to take this seriously, now says the opposite, right? You've got the people who were saying that there are no chemical weapons now have to say there are chemical weapons and Trump needs to deal with them and take them seriously. You have the big-time Trump supporters on kind of the conspiracy side who have been saying the entire time this is fake news, there is no chemical attacks, these are not attacks done by Syria. Now have Trump on the other side who's being very tough and speaking out against not only this but also Putin, which puts the left in another difficult spot because they're saying he's not tough on Putin, but he's being tough on Putin.
This is insane. This is insane. Oh, man, I'm so glad that you're tethered to the truth. Otherwise, I just don't know where you would be now.
Glenn Beck.
So there is now, I can't believe I'm saying this, and it's serious. There is now a controversy with the storylines of The Simpsons. You know, the cartoon. Apparently people are upset now at Apu's character. He is the Indian character that owns a convenience store. I know. I know.
You can't say that they're good business owners.
Well, you
know. How dare you?
No.
Are you saying all Indians are competent business owners?
No, that's what Hillary Clinton said.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And Joe Biden.
And Joe Biden. Yes. Yes. You can hardly go anywhere now into a convenience store without somebody from India. Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton. They addressed it last night on The Simpsons.
Yeah, there was a documentary, first of all, that it's called The Problem with Apu, apparently. Mm-hmm. I've not seen it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it says that basically it's okay to make fun of certain groups. And for example, they're saying Indians, right? Where like we see everyone, if they put a black character on that had a black voice and had black stereotypes, no one would agree with it. But Apu, because he's Indian with Indian stereotypes and an Indian voice voiced by a white guy, that's totally fine. That's their point. So they addressed this in the storyline of The Simpsons last night.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
It's hard to say. Something that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do?
Some things will be dealt with at a later date.
If at all.
And there's a picture of Apu. As they say that, they look at the picture of Apu on the side. And their point being like, yeah, like this is how it started. Everyone was fine with it at the time. And now all of a sudden it's turned into something that is become offensive.
Right. And you have to remember, 25 years.
Yeah.
This has been going on for 25 years. How old were you when you were 25 years ago? Yes, exactly. Very young. Think of the mistakes you were making. And now we're having to decide what is offensive, what isn't on something that's 25 years old.
And honestly, I
don't care. Jeez, look what they have done to white people. Look at how much you made fun of white people. White men, Mormons, people of religion.
Mormon's a great one. I mean, like the left can't put enough praise on the whatever musical that is.
Yeah.
Taking on Mormons, they love it. They made it the best musical of the year. It's touring all over the country.
Right.
I mean, and
they love it.
That's like it's part of what happens in this country. But
get over it.
Yeah. The funny thing too, everyone should be able to be a target. If you're a target, it's okay as long as you're a target for everybody. If you know, like there are obviously. There are some things that we're going to see as offensive now, and these things do change over time. But to sit here and like, and they're upset at that response because they wanted it to be addressed. I think they wanted Apu executed. I think that was the only thing they could that would actually.
No, I think they wanted him to execute others.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
They just want him. They want him to not do the things he's done. So what do you do with that? He becomes a character that only
is a positive. He becomes a doctor.
And they change. Hank Azaria loses his gig. You give Apu a job. An Indian actor comes in and plays Apu, and he only says really boring motivational things. That's what they did with the SAT scores. The SAT. There was a thing I read a book about the SATs before I took it, And what happened was African Americans complained about the test and said they're not culturally equal. So they put a bunch of questions in about African American culture. And the book that told me how to, you know, prep for the test, I was going to say cheat, but really it's not a cheat. But it said if it's an option, it will never be bad for African Americans because they put all the questions in. So if you can eliminate the things that look bad out of the answers because you know it's going to be positive. And it's true. At least back then it was.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.